Hey, gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording, located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They have fantastic rooms. Some of them have windows. They have fantastic PAs. They have a great staff. They can help you with anything, and if you need anything to rent, it's all there. 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown with Space, rehearsal, and recording.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you today. Hopefully I'll be introducing you to a great new artist. His name is Ty Richards. He's got a new album called Zillion, which is coming out Friday, February 3rd, 2017, which seems like a long time away, but is really just around the corner. His debut single from the record, Spaceman, is out. And you can go to tyrichards.com and find it. Ty and I have a fantastic conversation. He's an artist that writes, performs, and records everything himself, a la Prince, Stevie Wonder, Tame Impala, that kind of thing. He put out a single in 2015 called Shoulda, Woulda, Coulda, which gained great popularity in the U.S. and Europe, got put on some Spotify playlists and whatnot. But I suggest you get out there and check out this first single, Spaceman, from his debut album, Zillion, a fantastic record. That I think is just amazing. I got a link to it a couple of months ago when we did this conversation, so I've been listening to it, and I love it. It's been described as Beck Zeppelin, which is a great description of that music. That's exactly what it's like. It's festive, it's fun, it's got kind of that dance kind of vibe, but it's got badass riffs, too, on guitar. So Ty and I have a great conversation. Stick around for that. That's coming up in just a minute. Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. I got to go on Tuesday night. I went to Miles Zuniga from Fastball's house, and he had a little Oasis documentary watching party where people came over. He had some hors d'oeuvres out, some beers. I did not drink, but I hung out, got to hang out with a lot of cool dudes, man. Kevin McKinney from Renfro and Soul Hat, my friend Lars Gorenson, the producer, Paul Miner, the great musician, my old manager, Jan Merkin, who's fantastic, and her husband, Palmer. Absolutely amazing people. They just moved back from Vietnam. It was great to hang out and watch this movie with them. Of course, Tony Scalzo, also from Fastball and Renfro, was there. It's a great documentary. I highly suggest watching it. And anyway, it was a great time. Bunch of rock dudes hanging out, nerding out over the thing. And then we went out, stood around a fire afterwards outside and kind of talked about their songs and kind of what they meant. And what they mean to society. It's weird when you can look back on a band and go like, yeah, you know what? They put out like 7 records or something. But really, the first two and their ascension to fame, and then they're sort of like, where they spun out and just kind of went crazy and went off the rails. It's all there. It all happened over the course of like 3 years and 2 records. And it's really fascinating. It's a great story. I suggest you watch it. But it was great hanging out with all those guys, getting to spend a little time on the holidays, you know, catching up with friends. Wednesday night, went out and had a dinner with my cousin Emily and a bunch of her friends for her birthday. That was fantastic. Got to eat at Parkside. I haven't eaten there before. I had the pork. It was great. I don't know. I haven't talked to AJ in a few days. I didn't get to tell him about my meal there, but I think that we should probably go there and have a meal. It's a very popular restaurant. It's very happening. They have great oysters, great hors d'oeuvres. They have a weird plate of just sliced cucumbers, which I don't think they should charge for. It just seems weird. It's like 8 slices of cucumber, and they just bring it to you, and then you eat it. My cousin Emily got it. It was weird. Anyway, it's been a good week. Skyrocket is playing tomorrow night, Saturday, December 17th in Houston at the Continental Club. I will not be playing with them, as I will be accompanying my ex to her sister's wedding. So that should be interesting. I'm going there as a social buffer because that family is kind of in a scene, and she kind of wanted a person that she knew to kind of be there and be her friend. So that's what I'm doing, going to that tomorrow. So that should be interesting. And, of course, next week, Skyrocket's playing the Tito's party. So if you are invited to that, it's a Tito's Christmas party. Should be pretty fun next Thursday. I can't tell you where it is because I don't want you to crash it because it's a private party. But if you are invited, we'll see you there. Should be some fun times and dancing. And then, of course, Christmas. Damn. Man, that's right there. And I still have two presents. I am on my way out the door to go shopping as soon as I finish doing this and post this podcast with the incredibly talented Ty Richards, whose record Zillion comes out February 3rd, 2017. Go to tyrichards.com. Check out his single, Spaceman, the first single from the record Zillion. Absolutely fantastic. It's like psych dance rock. I love talking to this dude. He's super talented. He writes great songs. And this record, I can't recommend it enough. I think it's going to be on there. Might be my summer jam of 2017. Who knows? Who knows? All right. I want to thank my friends at Juice Consulting for setting me up with Ty. They sent me a thing and they said, hey, I bet you're going to like this guy. And boy, were they right. I love this record Zillion. I can't wait for you to get it. February 3rd, 2017. Go to tyrichards.com. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing, however you're listening to this, if you're on the trail, if you're driving in your car, if you're in the snow somewhere, if you're in another country. Thank you for listening to this show. Share it with your friends if you enjoy it, and enjoy my conversation with Mr. Ty Richards, the very talented gentleman. Go to tyrichards.com and check out his single, Spaceman. Have a great weekend, all right? Let's get down. You're young, man.
Ish. But,
yeah, youngish.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from a small little total suburbs town of Fort Worth called Keller.
All right.
Yeah, Keller, Texas.
Where, okay. Oh, that's guys over there, right? That's not coming from behind me, is it? When did you move to Austin?
Going on, I guess, 2.5 years ago. Going on 3 years.
And you moved here from there? There was no in-between?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you know, I did live, you know, I grew up in Keller, but I kind of claim Denton. Denton's kind of my town up there. I went to school there and lived there for five years. So that's, I'd probably rather claim that town.
Yeah. Yeah, Denton's kind of wild, man.
I feel most at home in Denton for sure.
So did you graduate? You got a degree there?
Yeah, I did.
In what?
Not in music. I got it in, it's called communication design, and actually specialized in art direction. It's kind of a mixture between like design and advertising, kind of all rolled into one.
Oh, wow.
And it's a good, really, really good program. It's kind of one of those programs nobody knows about. They only take like 80 people a year and into the program, and it's really hard to get all the way through it. I was lucky enough to make it in and lucky enough to make it through it.
Is it hard?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I kind of imagine it's kind of like an architecture school or something. Like if your portfolio isn't up to par, you get kicked out. I mean, you have to start over. And so like you could do a whole year and bust your ass, and if your portfolio doesn't, you know, if it isn't good enough, you kind of got to start over.
Yeah.
But I play a lot of music. I kind of intentionally didn't want to get stuck in like the academia music side of things too much, because I'm already kind of technical as it is. I didn't want to like go full robot, you know?
No, I know what you mean. But I mean, those guys, they turn out from their own robots, man.
Nat Chamberlain.
Fucking.
Oh, yeah. McKenzie from Midlake. A drummer from Midlake. He's one of my favorite
drummers.
Guys.
Earl Harvin, they talk about him up there?
You know, I wouldn't, honestly, not super into the jazz scene. If that was a jazz, I don't know if that was a jazz.
Yeah, like, he plays with like psychedelic furs and was an air stuff like that.
Dude, okay, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I knew.
But he is a jazz guy.
Yeah, I knew Fred. He teaches the guitar program at UNT. He's like the main professor there. Fred Hamilton. He's an old friend of mine.
So why did you choose that instead of music? Because you didn't want to get into the academia, but what made you gravitate towards this? What was it again?
It's called communication design, but it's basically like graphic design slash advertising stuff. But
did you do all the artwork for Zillion?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You're fucking great, man.
That's kind of I like to have my hands in all of it, you know.
Yeah, you do. By the way, I said it when you walked in. I don't know if I said it specifically the album. That just blew my mind. It's totally the kind of album I love. So I love a one guy situation where they make it really cool. You know what I mean?
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Even though I don't really like him, like that first Lenny Kravitz record is just so cool.
Yeah,
has a great vibe. Yeah. Stupid lyrics, but great vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a lot of records like that. Like Dave Grohl did it.
That first one. That's my favorite one of their records. That's my favorite one, man.
I don't know if Tame Impala did it with all theirs, but I know with their latest one, at least they did it. That was a huge inspiration, but also it's kind of like out of necessity too. I was kind of done waiting for the stars to align to assemble this perfect band, and then.
But you couldn't find a band and get that out of a band. You can't. I've tried so hard to get something out of a band that isn't exactly that, but my version of what a single vision is. It's real hard, man.
It's tricky. Yeah. It's a different thing. There's being in a band, and to me there's like just being an artist, and for this thing I'm just kind of wearing all the hats, you know. I'm an artist. I started to really see myself as an artist for the first time in my life, just kind of give myself permission to be like just make weird ass music. Most of the songs on the record started out as like a joke song. And they just
like that Naked Girls song.
I wasn't sure how much of the record you heard, but yeah,
no,
Naked Girls,
the whole record, fucking awesome, dude.
It's a total joke song that was like, all right, this is a song now, and it's going on the record. It's just, you know, it's stupid.
But you have a sense of humor. It's not like it's a Weird Al record. You know, it's like it's very playful. I see that. That's why people get those. You get the comparisons to Beck because you're not taking yourself seriously doing this, and it sounds like a good time.
Where's the fun?
People
aren't having fun. Like, you're supposed to play music. I think there's a reason why they call it playing.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, have fun.
But it's funny. Did you, okay. I mean, there's so much I want to talk to you about, and we're going to have to go back, and I'm going to have to figure out how this guy, Ty, became this guy. Because it takes a special kind of person. So, how do you do this live? I mean, now that at that point, do you bring people in?
Yeah, I'm honestly in the process of still figuring that out. You know, I've done three shows with this material, and it's been different all three times. I've had a completely different band all three times. I'm in the process of, you know, finding my band live, but I just know so many great people. And the hardest part is just deciding on who to work with, because I have so many great people.
But there's also a vibe to the record that I don't know how. I mean, not to draw comparisons, and I know this must be annoying,
right?
But how does Beck do it live? His keyboard player just friended me last night on Facebook.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm a huge Beck fan, and it obviously comes out in my music. I'm not trying to rip him off or anything.
No, not at all.
I love him. And I'm not afraid to like embrace influences, you know.
It's not bad.
When I you know, if I like Led Zeppelin, I'm gonna come out with some things that have a Zeppelin sound to them.
Yeah.
But yeah. But you're talking about, yeah, how does Beck do it live? And that
does
that,
he, I mean, there's gotta be loops. When he does Loser, there has to be loops.
Well, check it out. Like a big part of his sound to me, and I love his vocal sounds, and there's obviously different, like what Beck are you talking about? You know, you're talking about
early 90s
Beck, or, you know, are you talking about Midnight Vultures?
Yeah.
To me, I think a big part of the magic of his vocals are the way that he produces the vocals and the way that he records them. It's not just him singing into a microphone. Typically, I mean, I'm just using my ear. I have no idea what he actually does because I haven't researched it that hard, but there's at least at least three or four, you know, vocal tracks stacked. You know, he'll sing a part and he'll probably sing that part four or five times again and then do harmonies and do those parts four or five times. And I mean, it's kind of a common, it's not a huge secret. A lot of bands do that. But what I saw a lot when I saw him live, that's what he does live, but his whole band sings.
Oh, yeah.
They might, like, the whole band might sing unison on the same thing, but it just, it's huge. And yeah, he was definitely a huge inspiration on this record, along with Wilco. I'm like a huge fan of everything that Jeff Tweedy does.
There is, you know, that sort of like, there's, did you ever see I'm Trying to Break Your Heart, where they kind of talk about how they make the record, where he brings in, he does the song, and then they just totally deconstruct it and rebuild it? Mm-hmm. Sounds like you do that with your stuff.
Well, when I moved to Austin, it kind of gets that whole theme of the record. I mean, I kind of accidentally stumbled on the theme, kind of accidentally made sense, but Zillion is the name of the record.
Yeah.
And my life is totally different now than it was. And most people's are in 2 or 3 years, but 2 or 3 years, you wouldn't recognize me. I mean, I was that, you know, straight out of college, kind of yuppie, kind of working at an ad agency, had slick back hair, you know, just got married. And I'm thinking, you know, I just had this path. Like, I had this path that I could go down that was kind of like that sexy, like, ooh, like maybe I'll drive a BMW and make ads for the rest of my life and win award.
What are they called? Addies?
Addies, yeah. Win Addies. Yeah. And win Addies for the rest of my life. And I actually did win, like, I've worked with a couple companies where we won some Addies. And but
where did you work when you're talking about this?
Quite a few different places. Okay. You know, I worked, did some UI design for a big tech company in Dallas, working on their apps, kind of stuff. And then a couple of just small ad agencies where I'm kind of wearing multiple hats. I'm like making websites, and you'll see this parallel with my artist stuff too. Like at these agencies, I'm working on a website, and then I'm working on a print piece, and then I'm working on a logo, and I'm working on art directing some photos for something. And I just have taken, and since then I started my own business. Not long before I got to Austin, I started my own design shop.
So now you have your own design shop.
Yeah. And I've done it for so many other people. It's like I've made logos. I've done all these other, this, you know, I like getting a hold of a company and just like doing everything, doing the logo, doing the design for the website, just everything. So it kind of just all fits together. And I just kind of got sick of just doing that for other people. I want to do it for myself. I want to do that for art. I want to do that for something that's not, you know, just something to put food on the, you know, food on my plate for that
month. Like one of those Don Draper meltdowns. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I can't sell anything anymore. Yeah.
I don't know how much people really need to know about that side of my life, but
it's funny because I've been coming across this doing this show. I had a guy in here, I guess a month and a half ago or something. At the end of the thing, I turned the thing off and I was like, hey, so you have a day job? I was kind of starting to ask you about it. You seem to shy away from me. He's like, yeah, I'm a cop. I'm like, what a great conversation that is.
Yeah.
Cop songwriter? Come on, man. And he's a great guy. You wouldn't think it. It didn't sound like cop music. I don't know. It seems like it would sound square. I don't know. Yeah. But like then I had this other guy that is a reserve guy in the Texas National Guard.
Yeah.
With fucking amazing stories. But it is interesting because that is part of what makes up. Also, it gives an idea of the level, like when someone sees your album cover, they'll know it was you. They'll be amazed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at you. I think you're a creative force of nature. You're like a hurricane of artistry. What? I'm not blowing smoke up your ass either. I'm being serious. You're great, Ty. So where were you born? You were born in Fort Worth?
I was actually born in the great state of Michigan.
There you go.
Which... I like to, like I said, I'll tell you where I was born, but I'll tell you what I claim. I claim Texas because I was here by the time I was like 3 or 4. All right. So
where in Michigan?
Grand Rapids area. Yeah.
Mark Hallman, the great producer here in town that owns a Congress house. He's from there. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, I claim Texas. I mean, I've grown up here my whole life. It's, you know, it's my home. I love Texas. It's the most badass state in the world.
Yeah, I love it too. I mean, it's a wacky one, but it is. There's a lot of Texas. Like Fort Worth is fucking night and day to Austin.
Yeah.
And Houston's totally different. Dallas is different.
Fort Worth. I mean, Dallas is kind of, you know, it's got its vibe. Fort Worth is, to me, a little more chill.
Yeah. It seems a little more cowboy. Like, that's where you'd find...
It's a little more stereotypical.
Like, Mary Kay from there?
Maybe. I don't know. The whole idea of a pink Cadillac,
the whole idea of, like, horns on a Cadillac, that's way more Fort Worth to me than Dallas.
It definitely... you know, radiates more of that Texas, you know, stereotypical Texas.
Yeah.
But there's cool people there. Everybody's super chill there.
Yeah.
Dallas is cool too, but in its own way.
Yeah. You know? Can I tell you a quick aside? It makes people laugh that are from Fort Worth.
Yeah.
So, I've had this bass player in a band. He lived with this girl and they had a fight one day. And he was like, man, the kind of his big exclamation at the end of one of his long tirades was, and now I'm just stuck in this fucking house with this chick from Dallas, and she's like crying, and she goes, well, first of all, I am from Fort Worth. That was like the first thing. I thought that was so funny. So what did your parents do? What's that? Are you an only child?
No, I'm not. I'm the oldest of three brothers. Okay. I've got two younger brothers, and my parents are both like in sales related. Like my mom's a real estate agent, and my dad like runs like he is kind of like a I don't know. He's like worked his way up. He's worked his way up literally from the bottom of this company all the way up. I think, you know, 10 years later, now he's at, you know, a really, you know, kind of more executive level position at some kind of construction supply company. Okay. But yeah, it's funny because I've like avoided sales my whole life, you know, just like you're talking about Don Draper crisis.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, both my parents are involved in sales, but you know, the more like now that I've had my own business for like 5 or 6 years now, like the whole idea of like sales gets crapped on in our society. It's kind of like the grunt, like, shit job that people like to talk crap about, but man, sales is like what run. I mean, everything is sales. Like, if I'm an artist creating music, I can't keep creating music if I don't make sales. I can, but it's just not in the frequency that I would want to.
Right.
You know, I've got to sell some records so I can pay for the next record. You know, people don't understand like the cost that goes into a record too. I mean, it's expensive, man.
I'm sure the people that listen to this show are get enough things for Kickstarter
right.
to fill up their life. How did you just pay for this record yourself to make? I mean, you made it in your house, right?
But yeah.
You had a huge dude master it. Who is that?
Yeah, Brian Lucy. Brian Lucy, he's awesome mastering guy. I mean, he does a lot of huge people. He does Black Keys, Ray LaMontagne,
right.
Arctic Monkeys. I mean, he has like a huge list.
That's amazing.
Just Google him. He's epic. He's
so
a cool guy.
How did you come to music? I mean, when did you?
I've always been involved in music, and I've always written music. At least since I was about, you know, 12 or 13, I started writing my own songs.
It's when you wrote Naked Girls.
I wrote Naked Girls when I got to Austin. Like pretty much every song on the record except for the last song, that's like the one rogue song from like 5 years ago that somehow like was kind of made the cut with this stuff.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh no.
You're 12. Did you have like a 4-track or something that you were...
Oh yeah, the first thing I ever recorded on. Yeah. Oh man. Okay, so I made kind of an EP for myself. It was so horrible. I think I ended up like putting it on my, somehow like getting it from tape to computer a long time ago. So I don't have the tape anywhere. I wish I had it, but it was on a cassette tape and I used a karaoke machine that has two inputs. I was like, hey, I've got two channels. All I need is my vocals and my guitar. And I put, you know, a $10 mic on my vocals and a $10 mic on my amp of my electric guitar. And I just started playing. And that's how I got my first band, you know. Like,
what was your stuff? What was it rooted in?
I listened to a lot of the Toadies, man.
Oh, really? And then their hometown guys.
Yeah, man. I'm I'm a huge fan of the Toadies.
Sure.
That man, Todd, man, he's insane. And he's an artist to me too, because he's not afraid to take risks and just make a song that's just the most out there, with the most out there lyrics. You're like, what the hell?
Even their hits.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
you're like, what the fuck is he even singing about? Yeah, is he really putting that in a song?
Yeah.
And I love that. And just the guitar parts. I would just sit down with a record, even just seventh or eighth grade. And I loved the Toadies record so much. I would just learn every song on the record and I would just play it on guitar. But then, I mean, even popular bands, like, I love Third Eye Blind. That first Third Eye Blind record is, like, you know, probably one of my favorite. I'm just kind of a 90s kid. And I actually didn't even, that's right.
Yeah.
Everclear, you know, that band gets a lot of crap too, but I love Everclear.
I've met every single one of those guys that you've named so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff that I grew up on. I mean, I was still, it took me a while to, like, I guess the first band that I really, really got deep, deep into though was Led Zeppelin. My dad gave me a Led Zeppelin 4, and then I got their live BBC sessions, and Led Zeppelin has definitely been like my like lifetime band, you know. Yeah. They were my Beatles before I really got into the Beatles and discovered the Beatles for myself. But yeah,
what took you into recording so hard? Was it you know what I mean,
me being a
loner,
me being a huge control freak. You could say loner, and
control freak sounds good.
People all, you know, people try to like make it noble by saying like entrepreneur or self starter, but I'm just fucking stubborn, and I'm kind of a control freak. Like, I want, you know, I don't really take myself seriously, but at the same time, I have this. It's not perfectionism, because I make myself stop at a certain point, but maybe it's just kind of I have to get it to a certain level of quality before I'm like done with it.
And it's your level of quality. It's not someone else's.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So your solo, karaoke cassette got you a band.
Yeah. You know, I just got so, I feel like it was a natural progression. I learned a bunch of Toadies songs. I learned a bunch of Led Zeppelin. I learned all these songs in my room. And then the next step would be to start writing songs that were kind of like those songs. I would write some songs that sounded like The Offspring or sounded like Everclear, and just angsty teenage songs, you know? But then the next thing was, as soon as I was bored of that, I'd be like, I need to play with people. Like, the next step is get out of my bedroom and let's play with people. Yeah. And I started playing with the neighbors, had some awesome, next door neighbors that were just, we were just like a gang of kids. We lived on our bikes, and before long we were living in my friend's garage. We were just always in there. Yeah. Just playing all, we had every instrument there. You know, we had bass, we had drums. It was just the next level. And, just kind of graduated from there. I actually have a song about that time of my life. It's kind of like a boyhood story, but
that's cool.
It's the I don't want to come home. It's that song.
Okay.
It kind of gets that idea of like just living in isolation and playing video games, have that kind of typical American suburbs, like isolated kid. And then one day my dad literally told me, he's like, Tyler, get up. He would shut the video game off, turn the TV off, and he'd be like, you and your brothers, you guys got to go outside. You cannot come back until you have friends. We had just moved to a new neighborhood, and we're like, and he literally wouldn't let us come home until we had friends. And so we ended up finding kids and making friends and
going outside.
But then it's like, I didn't want to come home after that. It's like, I'm having so much fun. Just that boyhood kind of idea of just, you know, I'm having so much fun. I don't ever want to come home, because why would I? I'm like,
yeah,
kind of am home out here.
Yeah, you found your home.
Yeah.
So did you guys ever play gigs or anything, or take it? Yeah, out of the garage?
You know, middle school dances.
Nice.
That was the big one. You know, I remember the first time I ever played live, like in front of all my friends. Oh my gosh, what a rush!
Yeah.
I was up all night afterwards, just playing all the songs in my head in my bed. I couldn't
going through the concert.
Yeah, I couldn't even sleep.
It was a concert.
Yeah, it was so exhilarating, and I played the dumbest songs. It was just like, imagine the worst songs of the '90s, and the most typical songs that a kid would play. Like Sweet Home Alabama. That's like one of the first songs you learn.
It's a good song.
Sweet Home Alabama. Oh man. We played Closing Time by Simi Sam. Time. Yeah. Just
those guys ended up having a huge career. Those two dudes. Or one of the dudes, right? Writes all the songs.
All I ever really got into was that one record. Yeah. You know, did they do a lot after that?
As songwriters, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They went around writing with people.
That's awesome.
I think like half of that. Remember that Dixie Chicks record where they were post being hated, and they had the album that was like "fuck you guys."
Was that
like
was,
Rick Rubin produced it?
I wasn't super into the Dixie Chicks, so I don't know, but that's
anyway. Well,
that's cool.
He that guy wrote like half the songs, and I see his name on songs every once in a while.
I like seeing when you know you see this familiar name pop up behind songs that you know. That's one of the ways that I found out about Brian Lucey is I just started pulling up records that I like and just seeing who did the mastering, and his name was on half the records that I loved, and I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna call this guy up.
Yeah, you know what's killer is we live in a time now, sadly the business has kind of drooped a little bit, so like everyone's money is green.
Yeah,
and those guys like have days off where they don't do anything, so a guy like you pops up and he's like, okay. Mm-hmm. How much you got? You know what I mean?
Right.
I had that with Howie Weinberg a few years ago. He mastered an album of mine. A guy like, you know, the guy that did like Nevermind and all this kind of shit like that, where you're like, oh, really? That guy? He's like, he needs a job that day. It's like Wednesday. He's got no work.
Yeah.
But so then when you went to college, did you play?
Oh, man. I played so much, but it was... So all throughout high school and not all throughout college, but probably, you know, 3 years in high school and 2 years in college, I was with one band. And we had like two or three different names over the years, but it was
Can
the same group.
Can you throw me
people.
Some names, please?
I don't even know if I want to mention it, man.
That's my favorite part of doing this
like
show is people's high school names.
Are you serious?
Come on, man.
Okay. Well, this band, it'll make for a good story.
Okay, good. Thanks.
So we had three names. Our first name, when we first started, we sucked so bad. It was bad. The band name was Clifton. And that's not that funny of a name other than, I don't know, I feel like all of our name, the first couple names we had were kind of like mean. We're like making fun of someone. I feel like I was a bully or something. I don't know.
Big brother in you.
There was like this goofy guy and his name was Clifton. We just thought it was goofy, so we named our band after him. And he didn't know about the band. He was like younger. I don't know. He was some younger kid that we just saw walking around town. We named our band after him. I have no idea why. And then that graduated to something, I guess, more mean. couple years later, we're getting better, we're getting tighter as a band, and we're kind of like starting to get known in our high school. Like people would go to our shows, and they all knew that we were like the music guys. We were like, you know, one of two or three bands that were in the whole school. There wasn't a lot of actual bands, and we named our band Bentley. And you know, you think the car, but I named it after my brother because he broke his arm. He like fell off a bunk bed or something. And when they took the cast off, his arm was like all fucked up. His arm was like still bent. So we called him Bentley. And my dad was like, I don't ever want to hear you call your little brother that again. And we named the band. That's what we named the band.
So brutal.
And so he had to hear the name like forever.
So what was the third name?
The third name is even more edged. It's the
it's
most shameful
meaner.
Name. This you can actually find this shit on iTunes. I mean, it's still there. I don't know where all the massive amounts of money go for that iTunes account on that, but it's called our band was called Twilight. Before Twilight was a thing.
Oh, really?
And so now it's like super shameful. We're like, our band our old band was called Twilight. And people just laugh because like what? like a vampire band or what's going on? But it's good stuff. I still stand by it. I did that. I call it a record. It was really an EP, but it's a strong EP for like 17-year-old kids. And it's definitely like band stuff. I wouldn't consider it solo stuff. It's like part of like one of the core bands that helped me, you know,
develop.
Like the guys that I play with in that, like Kyle and Ryan and Toby, they were like, you know, I learned how to really become like play real music and become a real artist through playing with that band.
You still talk to them?
Yeah, they're to this day still some of my best friends, and we don't even live super close, but we, yeah.
How do they like the Zillions?
They liked it so far.
Yeah,
I enjoy my music back then was so serious, and so like I need to persuade my audience of some spiritual idea or something. Like I was just way, I don't know, just way too serious. So they hear my music now and it's just like what the hell is this? Like it's kind of goofy, but it's strong and it's bold and it's rock, but it's kind of poppy and it's kind of goofy and it's kind of kitschy, and it just doesn't really like fit their
yeah,
you know, what they saw before.
Still, I mean, it's really, I mean, like I have to say, I did go into it cold. I got an email from someone I trust. They send me good people.
Yeah.
Those Juice people.
Like yeah, Juice.
Amber and Heather and this girl Madison. All great people. Always, they're really good. I know you spent money. You spent it well. You did. And they have a very good way of approaching people. And they don't really send, like once they kind of got a sense of what I like and what I want on my show, that I don't really get much that's not. So anyway, when I went and listened to it, I was just taken aback. I was like, this is the kind of record I'm always looking for. Like a cool record that's fun, that's good. That's, you know, it's not like you're listening to like Gwen Stefani kind of pop or something. It's like, it's very cool. So anyway,
thanks,
sorry.
Man.
So then after you went to school, that's when you went into the corporate world of advertising?
No, it was after, that was really after school, but when I was right, in college and that band dispersed, like everybody moved to different sides of the nation basically. But, that's when I really learned how to be a songwriter. That's when I really learned how to write. I wrote so many freaking songs. I mean, probably not including half songs and random things like that. I probably wrote 200 songs the last 2 or 3 years of, college. And, you know, one of them made it on the record, but it was a very folk influenced time of my life. So it was just a ton of folk type of song, like folk rock kind of songs. But yeah, that's where I really learned how to write. I had no idea how to write songs then. And also by the time, you know, fast forward to now, or fast forward to like two, 1.5 years ago when I started to write this record, I was bored of writing songs like the regular old way. I was so bored. I was burnt out on, for myself personally, like just burnt out on folk. Like I just couldn't write any more folk songs with a straight face anymore.
No, I understand.
And so, you know, I was bored with the same old way of writing songs. You know, you sit down with a guitar, you get a pad of paper, and maybe I have a melody and I'll make some chords that go under that melody, or I have a cool like hook and I'll put some vocals over that. To me, that was my like status quo of that's how you write songs.
Writing a song.
You write the guitar, you write the lyrics, the drums are an afterthought, the bass is an afterthought, like make it good, make it fit that. I was so done with that. And my wife is like super into like funk and like my music was way too white, man. Like I wanted to make something that sounded, had some soul to it, man. And so, my wife is like super into Michael Jackson, Earth, Wind and Fire, Stevie Nicks also, we were just talking about Stevie Nicks the other day, but yeah, Stevie Wonder, all those guys. And that was, you know, leading up to this record, pretty much every song on this record was started on the drums. So drum parts first and then bass. So the groove is established before anything. I didn't even think of melodies or lyrics or anything. I'm just want to make a cool groove.
Yeah.
And then if it needed a guitar, if I felt like maybe a guitar would be cooler, then I would I built it. So I wrote and recorded and produced at the same time. And then I would basically have a finished song with no vocals at all. The song would be done. Yeah, it sounded good. And then I would go in and, the first couple songs I didn't do this way, but I read some article on Jeff Tweedy about mumble tracks. Like I said, I'm super bored of the way I was writing music. I needed a different process. And so I tried this mumble track thing out, thinking, there's no way this is going to work. Like, I'm going to go up to a mic and I'm going to be like,
yeah.
Like, how is that going to turn into anything? But
it does.
The process worked for me. It worked the first time. Shoulda, coulda, woulda was the first song that I ever did like that. And I recorded it and I put it real low in the mix and I listened to it for about 30 minutes and cranked it. You know, the track was cranked up, but you could just barely hear the vocals. You can just hear
start
a little
writing down what you think you hear.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're writing a song.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite.
It is a great way. And yeah. it takes the pressure off me because I don't have to be like, oh, I got to write some really cool lyrics, man. These better be cool.
Yeah.
I just write down whatever the hell I'm hearing. And it's weird how this batch of songs has more meaning to me than any of the songs that it kind of like removes your ego from the equation because you can't make it say what you want it to say. You have to use whatever jumbled up words you got out of listening to it.
Yeah.
It's a really cool, like, subconscious.
That's, and you're tapping into the real there.
Kind
you're
of
not
a,
thinking about what you're doing. You're just yeah. saying the stuff that feels. And when you read it, when you go back,
mm-hmm.
it's like, whoa, I was in that space.
It's super like Freudian way of writing.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy. I mean, shoulda, coulda, woulda. There's like four or five songs that I did that were like with that method, at least maybe more. A lot of the record was with that method. And yeah, I like it. It took the pressure off me making something cool.
Yeah.
I just make it.
And that song like kind of had a life last year. Did you just release it as a single?
Yeah. Yeah. It was,
what?
It was like, before I really knew anything about how to really release stuff the right way.
That's probably why it did real well.
So I just put it out. I'm like, shit, why? I have all this music. At that point, most of the record was like recorded. I felt like, you know, probably 80% of it was recorded. I'm like, I need to get something out there. I gotta get something out there. So I just finally just released it out of impatience and just put it out. And
how did you put it out? Like, what did you do? What were the steps that you took?
Yeah,
you didn't know what you were doing.
Man, this day and age, I don't think musicians even understand. Like you were saying, like, things are down in a lot of ways, but I think that there is so much opportunity to, like, it's so much easier to connect with fans now than it's ever been in the history of music. Before, you have to get on a label and you have to go tour. If you don't do those two things, you will not be successful ever, period, end of story. But what people are starting to realize now, and I'm meeting a lot of these people, they're making, you know, six-figure incomes on just their just making music and putting it out online, and because they know how to market it.
That sounds like one of those weird things you see on Facebook,
dude. It basically is. Like, I'm
you know,
like,
what I'm talking about,
dude.
I sit at home, jerk off, write one song a week, and make $3 million.
Check it out. Like, I am the dude that clicks on that shit and buys that shit because. Even if there's like, if I'm going to pay like $100 for a stupid online class, like, they're so dumb. Like, they really are. But there's all, I guarantee you, like, in every one of those things, there's at least like one little 5-minute video that's like, hell yes, worth the money. And that's, you know.
And so they tell you where to send it, where to place it, and what.
You know, there's different like classes out there. Like, I'm kind of a learnaholic, man. I love to like, do tutorial videos and look at stupid YouTube videos that teach you how to do. You can learn anything on YouTube. I mean, that's how I make my living on the side. Like, I tell people that I just watch YouTube videos. That's how I make money. Because someone will ask me, like, "Hey, do you know how to you know, make a website that does this, this, and this. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, no, I've never done that before. But I'm thinking, I know how to use YouTube, so yes. And I don't know, just there's so many things that we can, you know, artists can be their own label. You know, I don't need to necessarily need to, I'm not knocking labels. I just feel like for me, a label is just signing up for a big loan. And you're going to get all the stuff out of it, but you got to work it off, man. You've got to pay off that loan.
Also, with a guy like you, you're going to lose control.
Think so? You mean, what do you mean?
You're going to lose control. They're going to tell you to go remix something.
Right, creative
give
control.
It to this guy to mix it. He just mixed the thing for this guy. Let's give it to Wiz Khalifa.
Right. Yeah, once you start...
give it to Wiz Khalifa.
Once you start accepting money from people, there's always going to be some kind of string, even if there isn't officially a string.
You know, I do stuff with the Austin Music Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to throw your name in a hat for when we do a panel on making money off your music.
Yeah. Cool.
I think that you'd be a great person to have on there.
Yeah. I mean,
can you handle the pressure?
I don't know if I would do that, man, just because I haven't even put the record out yet. How do you know that I make money on my music yet?
Just right now, you convinced me that you know what you're doing. Yeah. Shoulda, woulda, coulda had a life of its own. It went out and ended up getting played in the U.S. and in Europe. Radio X, they called you an all-American musical genius. That's a lot for a guy that's just putting out his first record, right? And you're like 29. You're like, I just want to watch his YouTube videos. and dance to Earth, Wind, and Fire with my lady. My old lady. What does she do? You said?
She's a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, she is? Oh, you have a child?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Might be hard to believe, but I have 3 children.
Wow, you look like a young guy. You got that going. It's not just that. You have a young face and young 3 kids. How old?
I've got a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I bet they like this album. This album would be come on, they got
they do. They like to dance, man.
If you gave me this dancers. When I was 6 or 3, I'd be fucking totally into it. Sorry to cuss. Now your kids can't listen to this.
Whatever.
Man, that's amazing. Are they proud of you? Do you get to? Is your office at your house?
Yeah.
Oh, so you got a thing. You're a smart guy. You've got the You've got a music career where your record hasn't even come out yet, and people are already calling you the all-American musical genius.
It's a total sham, man. I've got a tiny little bedroom that doubles as my office and my studio,
dude,
and whatever else I want to be.
You're in my house right now.
Yeah.
You understand. You're coming from the same place.
That's what it's all about, man.
Yeah.
It's just using what you got.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a lot to do a lot.
Right. Yeah. No, you don't. And that's another great thing about nowadays. People are freaking out about, oh, this thing's done. I mean, I'm older and I was on a label.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on a lot of labels, but I was on like a big label.
Yeah.
And that was...
when labels... were a different thing.
Right. As they were falling. I was there. Yeah. I got in right at the last minute and then I didn't like it and I got out. I left my situation because they spent too much money. We didn't have enough control. We thought if they would just allow us to sell not a lot of records, then we wouldn't ask them for a lot of money in return. But there are people like Stereolab. Do you ever hear that band?
Yeah.
They had that kind of... And all through the 90s, before the Flaming Lips became what they were on fucking Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers just didn't give them very much money. They didn't take very much money and everything was cool. Like, hey, you don't sell a lot of records, but you don't cost us a lot of money.
Hey, easy.
You guys get good reviews. Makes us look like we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
It all comes out in the wash.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway, I think that you'd be bummed because they would take away control and that would make you sad. Yeah. So Zillions comes out in February 2017.
Yep.
And Zillion. You've got a release show. Zillion, sorry.
That's cool.
Zillion, February 3rd, 2017. And you're doing a release show on Friday, February 3rd, 2017 at Swan Dive in Austin, Texas on Red River. People could, shoulda, woulda, coulda can be found on Spotify and stuff. Or on iTunes.
So actually Spaceman is kind of like the, so here's, This is a long story.
I don't know. It's on the album. I didn't know if both of them were out simultaneously.
Yes and no. So it has to do with like the way that I'm. To me, that's what I said. I feel like I didn't know what I was doing a couple years ago when I put that, or a year ago when I put that out. So I released it under Ty. And now I've rebranded to like Ty Richards before, as I'm getting this first initial complete LP out there. Right. And so I've like done away with everything Ty. And so Shoulda, Coulda, Woulda is no longer available unless somewhere on my website or something, there's like a place to sign up for like a free song. And if you sign up, you could get it through that.
Okay.
But right now, for the moment,
Spaceman is the song.
Spaceman is the one released single from the new record.
And you can download it for free on SoundCloud?
Yep. Yeah, it's on SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes. My favorite is Bandcamp. I'm a huge fan of Bandcamp.
I am too.
Like people go buy music from your favorite artists on Bandcamp. Your artists make more money that way.
Yeah.
Do it. You're buying it directly from them that way, basically. So, but yeah.
Good commercial for Bandcamp. Bandcamp.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Keeping the artist flush with cash. Zillion is an amazing album. Pick up that first single, Spaceman. It's a great song. TyRichards.com. That's where people can find you and find out how to get your... I don't know when this is supposed to come out. If they want me to hold it till then or if it's a now kind of
thing.
For
Spaceman, it's now. I mean, the single's out now. Right. People can get it now.
I don't know what they want from me. I will ask them, though. And this will come out in a timely fashion. Hopefully,
yeah.
Ty, we can stay in touch. I thought maybe you were like a lonely guy and you didn't have friends, and so you and I were going to be best friends. But you got a family and like kids and like...
Hey... I'm in girl world, man. I've got all it's ladies. All girls. I need some dude. I need some serious bro time because it's all ladies for me.
I'm around, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah, Ty Richards, you make incredible music and you write great songs. And this like I really like. I'm blown away. I was blown away when I heard it. I don't say this very much on the podcast, so people listening know that I'm not just. I love you, man.
Thanks, man. Too kind.
You're the best. You're really good. Is there anything that I'm missing? Things you want to let people know about yourself? That we didn't explore?
I'm wearing a stupid cat shirt right now.
I wouldn't call it stupid. I would call it an extremely psychedelic cat shirt. In fact, it's taking me back to the 90s. And acid. And all the stuff that went down. Thanks for coming by. Congratulations. And good luck with everything. People get out there to TyRichards.com. Pick up Spaceman, the first single. You can find it. Go to Bandcamp. That's the chosen, for musicians, that's the chosen place to sell your music. Thanks, brother. Ty Richards made a fantastic album called Zillion, available February 3rd, 2017, with a release show February 3rd, 2017 at Swan Dive here in Austin, Texas. But his first single, that song that you're hearing, Spaceman, is available for download. So get over there to his Bandcamp and get involved. This guy is absolutely fantastic. This album is absolutely brilliant. You're going to love it. I cannot wait for you to get to hear it. I want to thank Ty for coming by. I want to thank our friends over at Juice Consulting for hooking this up. I was very, very excited to meet him after I heard his music, and it was great getting to know him, and looking forward to having a new pal in Ty. All right? Don't forget, when you're out there checking out Ty Richards stuff at TyRichards.com, which is where you can find all things Ty Richards, you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? See a photo of Ty and myself up there. You know, living the dream, just me and Ty hanging out in my apartment where I record these podcasts. Anyway, get out there, get involved in the show. If you do not want to fill up your phone with a bunch of podcasts or your phone's memory, you can always download the app Stitcher and stream over 30,000 shows right to your phone or pad or computer, including this one right here, How Did I Get Here? All right, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, Zillion comes out February 3rd. Get out there and pick up this single, Spaceman, the one that you're hearing right now. So great. Love, Ty Richards. Have a great day, whatever it is that you're doing. Let's get down.